Ramsey Solutions presents Chris Brown's True Stewardship.
What if American households today got serious about stewardship? Not some old historic church word and not some fundraising campaign, but true biblical stewardship, managing God's blessings God's way for God's glory.
Welcome to Chris Brown's True Stewardship. Here's your host, Chris Brown.
Well, hello, folks. How are you doing? This is Chris Brown, your host of Chris Brown's True Stewardship. And I hope you're starting your week off right by registering for our Do Christmas Right $100,000 giveaway presented by Ramsey Solutions. You can enter every day at stewardship.com to win tools that will change your Christmas. More information on that later on in the show. Of course, this is your show, so feel free to call in at 866-357-3283. That's a free call at 866-357-3283. And listen, you don't have to just call in when we're on the air. You can call in at any time. Many of you have left voicemails. And even today, we're going to be calling several of you back and setting up, you know, a time where we can set up your phone call. So feel free to leave a voicemail at any time. And I'm not aware of anyone that we haven't gotten back to somehow. So just know if you leave a voicemail that we will be getting back to you somehow. Now, before we start, I want to leave you with a very encouraging verse to start us off. It's found in Psalm 56:3 when David tells us, "When I'm afraid, I will trust you." Pretty simple, right? But such a deep concept. When I'm afraid, I will trust you. I don't know where you're at today and what you're facing, maybe financially or relationally, or maybe it's your health. But David modeled this well for us when he said, "When I am afraid, I will trust you." Again, the phone number is 866-357-3283. And our first call comes in from Morrisville, Pennsylvania. This is Lee. Lee, how you doing?
Hey, Chris, I'm doing good. Yourself?
Oh, I'm doing very, very well. How can I serve you?
All right. Well, I just had a quick question. My wife just recently transferred. Well, she moved. She was working for a company that was maybe 45 minutes to an hour away from home, and now she's about 15 minutes away from home. And I'm curious as to what we should do with the 401k money that we have left over from that that previous job. Should we roll it over, or should we pay off debt with it?
What kind of debt do you have?
We have roughly $12,000 in credit card debt. We have about $7,000 in a car payment, and combined we have about $7,000 left in school loans.
Okay. So you're looking at 26-ish. Okay. And do you have any savings?
No, we have that $1,000 emergency fund, and we're just trying to roll over and start paying off debt as quickly as possible.
Okay. Very good. And what's your income?
Combined, it's about $90,000 a year.
Okay. And what's the amount of the 401k? Do you know?
It's $4,500. I guess that's not including whatever we'd be taxed or penalized for taking the money out instead of rolling it over.
Yep. Okay, so I guess it's kind of a quick answer on this one. Just a general rule is we don't want to pull from retirement ever unless you're facing bankruptcy, possibly losing your home, or possibly facing jail time.
Okay.
So, you know, you want to make sure you get on this debt and get really intense about it, but don't pull retirement to do it.
Okay. So no-brainer, just push it right into an IRA or somewhere else.
That's about it.
Okay. Well, thank you very much. I appreciate that.
You're welcome. All right. Next on the line from Arizona, this is Steven. Steven, how you doing?
I'm doing well, Chris. Thanks for taking my call.
Oh, yeah. My honor. How can I help?
Hey, I'm considering doing a job change. I've actually already accepted a new position for a new job.
Okay.
My current job, I've been there about 6 years. And I feel like I have an unethical boss. The way he treats us, I feel like he is withholding some business from myself and some of the other sales guys. We're outside sales professionals. Married with five kids. currently making about $115,000 a year. But to switch over to the new job, I'd be taking a significant initial pay cut to about $65,000.
Okay.
The thing is, I felt led to research and pursue this new field, offered the position, and it's still a few months out. But I'm just wondering, is this a wise choice, making such a big jump?
I think, I'll forget, some kind of quote I heard one time was that nothing significance ever happened without a little bit of risk. You know, so it's not about really just the risk involved. I want to dig a little bit deeper into this. Do you want to leave that company regardless of the unethical behavior?
I would say yes. I felt that way for a few years.
So unethical, just keeping the sales from you. Is there anything else?
Well, he criticizes in public and never praises. So he's verbally abusive, and there's some other big dysfunctional personalities within the company that I deal with a lot. So mm-hmm. a lot of dysfunction on top of the business being withheld, which I think should be mine and some of the other guys that I work with.
Yeah. So let's go to the biblical way to handle this. Have you confronted him face to face?
I did a few years back. Mm-hmm. He kind of said, "Well, you start obtaining this level of sales, and then we'll talk about it."
Okay.
I feel like he gave me a number that I cannot realistically hit without those customers that he has taken from me.
So you just bounce back to numbers. Okay, so we were talking about the way he treated people, and you went to number. Which one do you care about more, the way he treats people or the numbers?
I would say, honestly, more the way he treats people, because I could easily survive with where I'm at financially now.
Mm-hmm.
But it's more, I think, the atmosphere and the culture and the fear I experience whenever I'm around them.
Yeah. Well, I think if you were to leave, here's the deal: the 115 to 65, that's up to you and your family. That's just up to you. If you're living a $115,000 lifestyle, obviously you're a little bit more in bondage to jump into 65. If you're living a $65,000 lifestyle, then it's not even a big deal. It's not even on your radar. It doesn't even matter. So that's up to you, and that's up to you on that side. If you have $115,000 earning potential and gift, a sales gift, then I would make sure that $65,000 can get to 115 as soon as possible. Because then I think you're not leveraging and you're not managing the gift that God's given you to earn income and to serve the public to full capacity and to provide for your family. So I would just make sure it's not going to stay at 65.
No, from everything I've been told, within probably 3 to 5 years, I could easily surpass, if not double, what I'm doing now. It's just the next couple of years would be a tough transition again, especially now that we have 5 kids. It's more the long-term picture looks great. The short-term looks a little scary.
Yeah, yeah. For me, I think when you leave a company, I think you owe it, going back to managing God's blessings, God's way for God's glory. I think even leaving a company, you can do that God's way and do it for His glory. I think if you leave there and you don't leave it all on the table, you don't explain to Him why you're leaving, I feel like you're doing a disservice to the public. I think the best thing you can do to them, for them, is to, with grace and with love, fully explain why you're leaving. I think that's the best way to help them, and it's the best way to help whoever comes behind you that they don't experience also. We need all of us who are listening right now, if we were all very, very honest with our employers and our past employers, I think we'd have a better marketplace today. By just leaving and not saying anything about it, of course, God's way is by doing it with love and doing it with grace, and not really challenging their motives, because you don't know what their heart is, but you are challenging the reality, challenging decision making. You're challenging the execution of whatever they're saying, their operations, and then for God's glory, that is making sure that you bring to light the evil, and you're bringing to light what good would look like. So as you leave, I just want to give you the permission to be courageous and to speak up on the way out and to do it with grace and love. But definitely speak up. Also, I think you got to think through the chain reaction. So you got to think about the timing. Now you've already gone out and almost you've secured this job. And I just want to, for folks who are listening in, if you're in the same boat, and you feel like you're in a very valued position, which it sounds like Stephen is, then you can confront while you have before you've gotten a backup plan. If you feel like your position and what you bring to the table is not valued, then I would strongly encourage you to go get that job before you confront. Because if you confront and it goes bad and they don't really value your position, you can get fired on the spot. And so you need to have that backup plan. Now Stephen, you have a pretty valued position. You're bringing a lot of value to the company and you went ahead and got an extra job. But I think there's a lot of concern out there about loyalty. Like, it's bad to look for a job when you work somewhere. No. Our first loyalty is to our family. 1 Timothy 5:8, anyone who does not provide for the relatives and especially their own household has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. And so for you going out and securing $65,000 so you don't go from 115 to zero before you have this conversation was wise. And so I don't hear anything that I'm against for this. It looks like about a 40% pay cut. Stephen, I'm not against it. Just make sure that 65 gets back up to 115 quickly.
Very good. Thank you.
Hopefully that helps.
Yes, certainly did. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Got an email here from Stacy. My question is this. I'm 46 and do not own my home. My credit score is disastrous, so I have no doubt it will take years to accommodate a score good enough to become a homeowner. My goal is by age 50, I will have a mortgage but manage to pay it off within 15 years. Sometimes I wonder if my wanting to buy a home is ridiculous at my age. What is your advice regarding home ownership at my age? Well, it's not ridiculous at all. You totally can do this. It's going to take a lot of good, small decisions all in a row. It'll take a lot of discipline, but you'll see how bad you really want it based on whether you make those good decisions. I remember back a couple years ago, I worked for a lead pastor who was an amazing man, and I was sitting down at a Starbucks, and I asked him, man, I really want to learn Spanish. I said that, and he just stared at me. I'm like, what are you staring at? And he goes, no, you don't. I said, yes, I do. I'm dying to know Spanish. He goes, no, you don't. He goes, if you did, you'd speak Spanish. The reality is, folks, we do what we want to do. And if you want to own this home, Stacy, you'll work hard and you'll get it. Well, folks, we're dealing with callers today who are in some, very significant situations. Do you know somebody who possibly needs a little nudge in the right direction? Maybe they need a plan for their money? Well, many times a simple gift can help change the future for that person that you're thinking of. If you want to help someone this Christmas, we have the perfect gifts for you and for them at stewardship.com. Right now, the Financial Peace University Home Study is available for over 70% off and free shipping. If you've listened to the show, you've heard the testimonies of callers that are changing their futures after taking Financial Peace University. So don't waste another minute to get this perfect gift that can help make someone's future brighter.
If you'd like to ask Chris a question, email him at chrisbrownonair@stewardship.com. That's chrisbrownonair@stewardship.com. Or call him at 866-357-3283. That's 866-357-3283. And now we continue with Chris Brown's True Stewardship. Here's Chris.
All right, folks. Well, we got a call here from Michelle. She's calling in from Dallas, Texas. Michelle, how you doing?
I'm great, Chris. How are you?
Oh, I am better every day. How can I serve you?
I actually am in a terrible financial mess.
Mm-hmm.
I can't really count on my husband's income just because he is extremely irresponsible and does not consistently have an income. I'm looking at about $4,800 in income after taxes each month.
Okay.
Just the basic necessities, not including the car payment and the insurance that I'm wondering if I need to repossess, which I know is not what you and Dave recommend. So I'm trying to avoid that.
Mm-hmm.
Out of the $4,800 in income that I have a month, just basic necessities, not including that car, the money owed to the IRS, or the $10,000 in payday loans that I have, I have about $1,200 left over. I know the IRS is not going to go away. So I know from what y'all say that needs to be one of the top priorities. The other major situation I'm dealing with are these payday loans, and I have close to $10,000 in payday loans just from my husband. And, you know, he had a job, didn't have a job, lied and didn't have a job, just a huge mess. And our marriage is a mess anyway, but it all stems from him lying. I know that in order for me to get those payday loans, I had to write checks to get those loans. And then when they're not able to put those checks through because my accounts were overdrawn, you know, it technically becomes a bad check at that point. So I know it is a priority to get those paid off. But the only way I can foresee paying the IRS and these payday loans is to get rid of this car, which would basically cost me $850 a month.
It costs you $850 a month to get rid of a car?
Well, if I keep the car, it would save me $850 if I were to allow the car to be repossessed.
Gotcha. So are you trying to tell me your payment is $850 a month?
The payment is $530. Full coverage insurance on the car is $320.
Gotcha.
I have $1,200 left over after meeting just our basic needs.
You're asking how to get out of this.
Yes, I'm in such a mess, Chris, and wow. I don't know what to do.
Well, Michelle, I want to help you with a couple things. One is I want to encourage you to take one of these at a time. You've got the whole thing in your head, and from a logical standpoint, and even an emotional standpoint, I think if you were to put these in order and focus on one at a time and not all of you're looking at the whole mess as one huge clump. And that's very overwhelming. Now, even the way that you threw in the marriage issues right in the middle of this, I just want to help you a little bit, like kind of pull up a little bit and move one to one side and one to the other. And I know they kind of intermix a little bit. So here's what I want you to do.
Okay.
Have you listed these debts smallest to biggest?
Yes, sir.
Now, the only thing that's going to be different from that is the IRS debt. How much is the IRS debt?
$8,600.
Okay. You're going to move that one to the top. Okay. Then everything else is going to be smallest to biggest. Okay. Then I'm going to really talk about the finances first. And then we're going to deal with the relational part. And then when you're thinking through the car, what I would advise you to do is to go down to the bank. How much is the car?
I owe $25,000 on it. Kelly Blue Book to a private buyer. Most I would get would be $12,000.
Okay.
And my credit is shot.
So you couldn't go down to the bank and get a $14,000 loan to cover the gap?
No, sir.
Okay. Michelle, and I don't know if you've ever heard me say this, but this is a lot of power in this statement. Focus on what you can control. There's a lot of variables and a lot of circumstances circling around your situation. But the bottom line is you can only control what you can control. So here's some real practical advice for you. Pay what you can. Start with the IRS and pay what you can. At the end of the day, if you can't make a payment, what's going to happen? Your credit's already shot, right? No one's taking you to jail. Okay. Are you going to be losing your home?
No, sir. No. I rent.
So you're not going to be losing your home. You're going to have enough food, your necessities, food and shelter. And you want to make sure you take care of your food, your basic necessities for food, shelter, transportation. And that doesn't just mean that car. Okay.
Right.
And your house. So you're going to have shelter. You're going to have those bare necessities and you're going to make sure you stay out of jail. And then everything else, yes, your credit's going to be shot, but you're going to be doing the best that you can. So during this process on the financial side, as much extra work as you can do, okay? Extra work that you can do, if you get promoted at your current job and keep the expenses as low as you can, that's what you can control. And so when you're looking at this situation, you've got to think through the lens of you want to peek at the past, but you want to focus on the future. You want to peek at the past. Right. No, these are not so brilliant decisions that you've made in the past, but you need to focus on the future. You called and the first thing you said to me was about your husband. Okay. And I want to encourage you. The best way I can help you is to lead you strong in this moment. and that is to take full personal responsibility for what's happened, because you can't change somebody else. All you can change is you, and you can inspire others through your changes. Okay, you sign the documents. It's fine. You got to live with it. But listen, the Bible's very clear. It says, you know, that as far as the east is from the west, so far as he removed our transgressions from us. Okay, so that's right. That's the way he looks at our past. Okay, whether it's sins or whether it's just a bad decision. It's not necessarily a sin. It's just a bad decision. It wasn't wise. And then, of course, David modeled this for us. And he says, when I'm afraid, which is what I hear in your voice, I will trust you. You got to trust God. Just do what he says. But instead of saying my husband, okay, you got to first think, what can I change? Galatians 6:5 says, for each one will bear his own load. So there's this whole aspect of personal responsibility. And just love him as best as you can and focus on what you can control. Do the best you can. And if they repossess the car, you did the best you can. I would never say repossess something on purpose, but if you do the best you can and it gets repossessed, you tried.
I know y'all are never proponents of bankruptcy, but aside from just the debts that I told you about, there is a whole nother $80,000 worth of debt, mostly medical, but I have $20,000 in student loans, so total other debt would be $80,000. Do you think I just still do the snowball and just get to them as I can, or do I file bankruptcy?
Michelle, I know that this hill that you've got to climb over the next probably 5, 6, 7 years seems so insurmountable, but for somebody who has coached thousands and thousands of people, your situation, unfortunately, is not that rare. And people every single day are shouting debt-free screams in our lobby who have overcome more debt in less time. You can do this. And bankruptcy is not the option.
Okay.
Okay? Let me pray for you real fast. Okay, Michelle?
Okay.
God, we come to you right now on behalf of Michelle. We ask, God, that you would encourage her in a powerful way. God, that she would know that she knows that she knows that you're right there beside her. God, I pray that you would remove the just the guilt and the shame from these decisions, and you would just restore under her the perspective of knowing how you look at her. She is a child of you, and she is made in your image, and you love her. You love her so much. God, I pray that you'd open up the mind of her husband. And I pray, God, that you'd give her tremendous wisdom as she goes into these next few months. And I pray that you'd give her that peace that you've given so many times to so many of us. We're asking boldly for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Michelle, keep us part of your journey, okay? Keep us posted.
Yes, sir.
And let us know what's going on, okay?
Okay, thank you so much.
All right, thank you, Michelle. All right, folks, well, that's a tough one to end on today, but that's the reality, isn't it? That's the reality of what many of us are facing out there in the world today. We definitely got a lot of things that are really heavy in our financial lives, and we're just, you know, ending the show today. And just in reality, that's the way it is. That's the reason why we have this show, and I love the fact that she can hang up and know that she has hope. That there's a way out of this. And so I'm thankful for Michelle's call. And I pray that you are blessed to be part of her journey. And I cannot wait for her to call in and to brag on Jesus. Well, folks, don't forget, you know, don't forget to sign up every day this week for that Do Christmas Right $100,000 giveaway. And I hope Michelle gets that, you know. As part of Ramsey Solutions at stewardship.com, we're giving away $100,000 this Christmas. So make sure you're signing up for that every day. Of course, let's stay in touch at Chris Brown On Air on Facebook, on Instagram, and on Twitter. My prayer is that I can encourage you. And, I oftentimes post scriptures and thoughts from thought leaders around America that can encourage you and give you hope as well. So let's stay connected on social. Well, until next time, until our next show, let's continue to manage God's blessings, God's way, for God's glory.